Okay, well, please come forward, sir, or you and your attorney, you may want to come first, and then you can yield. Please come forward, and then you can yield to your attorney anytime you get ready, because that's the... One phone call, yes, sir, I do show one phone call, and we will make that call while we are here for Ms. Pekkajai. Just one second, sir, let's see if... Yes, this is the Arizona Board of Executive. Come and see us, understanding that you wish to participate in this... Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive. Come and see, calling. We have word that you wish to participate in our hearing this morning. Am I correct, ma'am?
Okay,
now if you could just hold on to the phone and remain quiet, and at the appropriate time, we will call upon you. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, sir, would you state your name for the record? And if you remember your ADC number, you can state it as well. If you don't remember, we forgive you.
Thank you. Good morning, members of the board. My name, as you recognize it, is Thomas Placzek, P-L-A-C-Z-E-K, formerly 084839.
Thank you, Mr. Placzek. You appear before the Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy for your review, in as much as you are currently on home arrest. And we just wanted to follow up with you to see how much progress you made or lack of progress thereof since you've been out on home arrest. And so would you kind of bring the board up to date? What's been going on in your life since you've been out on home arrest, sir?
Okay, thank you. I did submit to the members of the board my parole packet.
Yes, sir. We reviewed it. Yes, sir.
And that pretty much covers everything in its entirety. But to summarize, when we last met, I had submitted, you know, my list of my accomplishments and achievements while within the Department of Corrections. To basically summarize all my goals and my plans up to this point. With a couple of exceptions, I have met all my goals, I've had all my plans.
Oh, one second, sir. Yeah. Ms. Mike, is there something going on with your phone? We keep getting all this static. Is that on your end?
I don't hear it, right?
Well, we hear it on our end, so, but I don't know what's going on.
I go down for it.
Okay.
I can hear you guys loud and clear. Kind of sounds a little bit faint, but I don't hear it right or anything.
Okay.
Well,
one board member says, is it possible for you to mute your phone until we call on you? Is that possible?
I'm sorry, sir.
Could you mute your phone, you know, so that you can hear, but none of the noise would come through. Is that possible on your phone, on the phone that you're on at this moment?
Is it possible? Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Is it possible to mute your phone so that we won't hear the noise? And I assume not. So we will go forward. We'll go forward, and hopefully we won't have too much interruption. So please go ahead, Mr. Placzek. I'm sorry for the interruption, sir.
Oh, thank you. So referring, I didn't bring it up with me, but referring to my parole plan, I bullet point everything that's been going on. I've completed the Phoenix Oasis program. I did find employment. I got identity, which took a while. That took a while for me. I've established my credit. Gaining or earning a better credit score. As I indicated, I did get employment. I've established pro-social bonds. And everything else that you see there in front of you in the parole plan. I did get my driver's license. I'm a vehicle owner. To my recollection, to the best of my ability, I've met all the requirements and conditions that have been presented to me. I did pay my felony assessment fees in their entirety. I am up to date on my parole fees. And I'm sure this will speak for that. But that's pretty much it. I'm sure that I'm forgetting some things, but...
We do have your information on your employment, but exactly what are you doing in terms of your employment? What's the job that you...
I work at Trendwoods, which is a furniture manufacturer. Basically, they make furniture for children. So I'm a laborer there.
Now, are you still residing at the Oasis House, or are you residing elsewhere now, sir?
No, I am residing. Mr. Pogue will confirm that I've moved, and my address is reflected on the parole plan. I'm currently living with my girlfriend at 2112 West Fowler.
Okay. And how long have you been employed there at Trentwood?
I think 3.5, going on 4 months.
4 months?
Yeah, and I haven't. The ID issues that I did definitely postponed or made the employment search much more difficult.
Okay, sir. And I do take note that you, in terms of education, what have you been doing in terms of education? We just like to hear from you. We
sure.
We have your whole report here. I'm
right.
So we have your report at this moment, sir.
Well, other than doing some preliminary investigating as far as what's applicable and what's not applicable right now, education is probably going to be, I have to face the realities of what home arrest consists of. And so with my job and all that, until the situation changes, basically we're on the logistics right now for being able to go to school, maintain all my home arrest conditions, meaning the charging twice a day and so on and so forth. And it does really, the logistics right now present more of a problem than I'm willing to really try to juggle right now. I'm trying to know what my limitations are. Now, maybe if that were to change in the future, then I definitely, absolutely, education is a priority in my life. Just right now, the logistics, as I see it, don't really support me pursuing that right now. Plus, there's a financial cost as well that I have to take into consideration as well.
And I do take note that you're interested in writing. Any particular reason why that's an interest of yours, writing, sir?
Well, I was in the institution, it was part of my therapy. But aside from that, it's something I'm actually good at.
Okay. Did you start in elementary, high school writing, or is this something new for you, sir?
No, it's not new. I've written my entire life.
Okay.
Probably elementary school. The first thing I wrote was in crayon. Because we didn't have, pencils in our household, so I would write stories in crayons.
I know we have everything in writing from you, but how was your living conditions there at the Oasis House? Was it pleasant? Did you have problems? Or was there any child, not you, but
right.
Just in general, how was living conditions there, sir?
I'm adaptable. If there's one word to describe me, it's resilient. Does that mean that I encountered any problems? No, there was no issue. There was no problem. I made all my payments on time. We managed our household in a positive, productive fashion. There was no issue.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. And now you have your own place where you reside with your girlfriend.
Correct.
So what did you? And I know that it's hard to say because, when you're on home arrest, there are some limitations. But what did you, let's say, once you eliminate some of these obstacles that might be out there, what do you plan to do in the long term? I know you plan to go to school, and I read
yeah.
that, you plan
right.
to get your education, but what are your future plans, sir?
My goals, of course, is eventually to do something with writing, however that shapes up. I mean, I understand that I make my choices, and, the things I do today reflect what's going to happen tomorrow. But writing, and I'm still committed to trying to mentor. I've looked into what's called the mentor certification. I've looked into, there's really just sitting here listening today to the two previous hearings, there's a need. There's a need for guys getting out of prison that are just completely lost and confused and don't necessarily know how to reintegrate themselves. And so I think that going through this experience and at some point in the future, I can speak with one having gone through the experience with authority about not only mentoring, but pointing guys in the right direction, providing them tools, materials, and resources to be able to make their own successful transition.
Yes. Now, as you know, and as the record reflects, and it reflects that you've been out, I believe, since March of this year, which is not a long a time, in your own thinking, not anybody else's, not the people at ASU, not the board's thinking, but in terms of your thinking at this time, why do you think the board ought to consider moving you to general parole, or if that is something that you have an interest in?
I do. My thinking is basically two thoughts here, and I would be remiss if I didn't include the first thought, and that is, I never thought I would get out of prison. I didn't. You guys didn't necessarily have to, and so not only am I grateful, but it was a very humbling experience. So, which kind of leads to my second thought. Okay, even though I never believed I would ever get out of prison, my behavior didn't change, at least in a negative or derogatory fashion. April 18th, the day after I got out, my behavior didn't change, not in a negative fashion. And so in my mind, what is my belief? My belief is you guys, meaning the board members, so the board that was here at the time, you felt that I wasn't a threat to the community, otherwise you would have let me out. And by allowing me to get out, that was your subliminal way of saying that, hey, we believe in you, which gave me the courage and the confidence to believe in myself, okay? And so basically the bottom line is my behavior hasn't changed in a negative fashion, and there's no reason why it's going to.
Let me just ask one other question. I think I go to other board members, and others might come up in my mind while you're answering this one. And I want to ask those of your supporters who are here just to close their ears for the moment, which I'm not going to ask you to actually literally close them, but because of this question. How helpful have they been? You know, I mean, we have, you know, the ASU people here who've been working with you. Do you feel, that's why I want them to close their ears. I should have put them out the room, shouldn't I? But have they been helpful to you? Have they been a distraction to you? How do you feel about the program? That's an unfair question with them behind you and to the side of you, but that's my question, though, sir.
Well, I mean, it was definitely not expected, which is good. Okay, so let me use some anecdotal evidence then. I think probably my first or second week out, after being locked up since I was 17 years old, not really knowing a whole lot about the world, and having the conditions of home arrest, I have to have a schedule, I have to not only have an itinerary, but when things go wrong, I have to inform Mr. Bogue or whatever. So I'm on my bicycle at the museum, and I blow a tire. I've never had that experience before in my life. What do I do? Who do I call? And it was one of their members that I called. Okay. So that's just one. That's just one example. So they've been there for me. Now, as far as what actual experience or what actual hardcore assistance, they've given me all kinds of job leads. They've kind of ridden my butt, so to speak. So, you know, hey, you can't be so selective in where you do and don't want to work or whatever. You got to get employment. So giving me job leads. Assisting me when it came to medical, assisting me with navigating the very complex medical community or medical insurance, you know. So yes, they've been there for me, and they've given some very concrete assistance. They did to this day. They've done what they said they'd do, and that was they would help me navigate through the transition period.
Okay. Well, do you plan to continue that relationship with them, whether you remain on home arrest or whether you have general parole? Do you plan to maintain a relationship with them, sir?
Well, I think that as I get more and more distance and more tracks, so to speak, underneath me, but absolutely. I mean, all relationships change. Yeah, because I believe in what they're doing, and as I indicated before, there's things that I want to do to be able to help people. So let me give you a for instance, okay, because of how their organization works, They're not in a position because of liability or whatever to say, hey, I need to go to DES, for example. Well, they can't just say, well, get in our car, let's go to DES. But in the future, if I have some type of mentorship where I'm helping guys or whatever, they could send guys my way saying, hey, can you help this guy by giving him a ride to DES? Because I don't have the same restrictions or conditions. So is our relationship going to continue? I would say absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you before we move forward. Any questions at this point? We'll have opportunities later to ask questions. Yes, Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Sir, what type of riding do you do?
Well, initially, as I indicated, that was very therapeutic, so it was very personal. But now my riding, basically, I have two things. It's kind of pseudo-spiritual in nature, as well as I like science fiction.
Okay, what is pseudo-spiritual in nature?
Well, I just have a different set of values, and maybe not values per se, but I have a set of beliefs that aren't necessarily, actually that's too big. Basically, feel-good stuff, like chicken soup for the soul, only from an ex-felon's perspective.
So in your writing, sir, do you do any writings about crimes, or you said?
No, not at all.
All educational?
Pardon me?
All educational?
All educational, inspirational, yes. Or, like I said, science fiction.
And what type of science fiction?
Well, the difference between fantasy and science fiction is things that can't happen, and science fiction is stories about things that could happen. So in that regards, I mean, it's kind of vague, but maybe a utopian kind of philosophical kind of, if mankind is elevated to his utmost potential, or if mankind can overcome their struggles of the day, those kinds of things.
So have you shared any of your writing, like with your parole officer?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Any further questions? Honorable Mr. Polanis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. Mr. Is it Plasek?
Plasek, yes.
Plasek, pardon me, Plasek?
Yeah.
You stated in your statistical factors weighing in favor of your successful transition that I am a male Caucasian, which is a group historically less likely to reoffend. I'm kind of curious why you put that in there, just based on the way it lands. And I'm not even talking about necessarily political correctness as much as when I look at the totality of the case, I certainly am not making that sort of decision as an individual board member. So why did you put that in?
Well, speaking as far as statistics go or whatever, it is what it is. So I'm not going to exclude it, especially since it's a category that I fall into. So I'm not the one that writes Berkeley or the Justice Department statistics. They're the ones that break those things down into those categories. So I felt it was relevant because, I'm not trying to be political one way or the other. It's just that's the category that I fit into.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, any further questions, board members? Honorable Mr. Johnson.
That just kind of amazed me about the answer to that question, is that you just feel like that's just the category you fell into, or your reason for actually putting that in there. I mean, you said that you're not the one who write those statistics and put those statistics in there. And so you just felt like because you were a white male, you fall into that category. So it's almost as your explanation to me, okay? I'm just gonna say, I take that kind of offensive, your explanation to me, because your explanation to me for what I heard you just explain, I almost said because you were a white male, then you're less likely to offend. And you know, that kind of alarms me, what your explanation to that was. I'm just absent from the response that you gave, is that you just feel as though you fit into that category without giving some explanation of why that particularly attend to, other than you being a white male, then you're less likely to offend.
If I may.
Yes, sir.
I'm the offender. And so, I mean, I went to prison for a form of crime. So as an offender, you know, I have to fit somewhere. I'm not trying to be cavalier about it. You know, he asked me a question, and I'm just giving my reasoning as to why I added that, you know. And it's not my intent to be politically correct or offend anybody, you know. But yeah, it's just when I look at the totality of offenders, you know, offenders are broken down into those things, especially in the prison environment. The prison environment is all about race, you know, and that's a reality I can't ignore. Now I've made this transition into the community, and the community treats race and religion and sex in a different mindset, and these are things that I'm learning as I go.
I just want to follow up on that. I want to begin by saying, for whatever reason, as one individual voting board member, I was uncomfortable asking that question. Only in that I'm looking at the totality of you, your case. That's what I do before every case, as I sit on this board. And it's just almost a suggestion to me that, well, if there's a white inmate coming before this board, I should consider that there's a less chance that they'll offend if we will. And that's just not a factor that's ever figured in to my individual decision making, which is why I was asking, why did you put that in there? Because for the lack of a better word, it sounds pointed. But I'll leave it at that, and I appreciate you being honest with your response. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, board members, at this time? You have an opportunity later. Okay, at this time, attorney, do you wish to come forward at this time, or do you want to come just a little later, sir, or any of your distinguished colleagues from, I think it's called ASU or something? I'm just kidding. Yes, sir.
I'll let them go first.
Okay, so who want to come forward first? You can have a seat, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning, and would you state your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Rose Grisham.
And what do you want to tell the board this morning, ma'am?
I am currently a master's level social work student interning with the Arizona Justice Project. In 2016, the Arizona Justice Project collaborated with Arizona State University School of Social Work in an effort to provide assistance to individuals transitioning back into the community following a significant prison sentence. As a member of the team, I personally have experience working in a variety of agency settings, including adolescent inpatient mental health hospitals, substance abuse treatment and resource clinics, domestic violence shelters, and HIV advocacy and education. The Arizona Justice Project's reentry team's mission is to reduce recidivism through assistance and support with navigating vital community resources such as housing, employment, substance abuse, mental health services, health care, rebuilding relationships, and the forming of new pro-social supports outside of prison. The partnership between the Arizona Justice Project and ASU School of Social Work through the establishment of the reentry team demonstrates our professional commitment as social workers to promote offender rehabilitation while still maintaining public safety. The Arizona Justice Project reentry team assisted Mr. Potsick with the creation of a reentry plan during his early release. We are dedicated to provide continued support to Mr. Plotzik with any needs that may arise in the future and in the attainment of his future educational and career goals. Currently, Mr. Plotzik is working long hours in a warehouse position for a furniture manufacturing company. We are collaborating with our client in the hopes of finding him more sustainable employment options that will be more suitable for him as he ages and works for greater financial stability. Mr. Plotzik has had many notable achievements since his release in April related to employment, housing, financial stability, and voluntarily seeking mental health treatment services. The Arizona Justice Project Reentry Team notes and applauds Mr. Plodzik for his continued success and remains committed to providing him with our assistance. We respect the board's decision today, and I will be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
No questions, board members? There are no questions. Thank you so very much for coming today. Anyone else wishes to come forward at this time? Welcome once, welcome twice, welcome thrice, welcome four times, five times, six times, seven times. Anybody else wishes to come forward at this time? Attorney, do you wish to say something at this time, or do you want to reserve it for later, sir?
I'll speak right now.
Okay, would you state your name just for the record, sir?
Sure, my name is Randy McDonald.
I think we've seen you before, but yes. Welcome again to the board. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, it's good to be back here. You asked about the progress that Thomas has made, and I think it's indicative of the progress that you think he made in prison that you allowed him out on the home arrest program. And I'm astonished at the level of progress he's made since then. You have some letters and papers before you about what he's done, and I think he really demonstrates a desire to improve himself and to better himself and be a stable and productive member of society, and I think he is doing that, and I think he wants to continue to do that. You've talked to him about his educational aspirations, and I think that would be the next logical step, I think, for him after he's secured some gainful long-term employment. As he said, I think one of the impediments to that is the home arrest program. And so I hope that this board will consider either now or sometime in the future removing the home arrest requirements and moving him on to regular parole. And I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you so very much, sir. Questions, board members? I don't see any questions coming from board members. Thank you, sir. I think now I will yield to the distinguished parole officer. Would you please come forward, sir? And just for the record, we know who you are, but would you state your name for the record again, sir?
Good morning. My name is Patrick Bowden. I'm the assigned parole officer.
Yes, sir, and welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency again. And what do you wish to tell the board of Mr. Plaster? Please, sir, Plaster.
Well, I can say that I've supervised him for the duration since his release in April. I believe it was around April 17th. No infractions. His itineraries are complete, very detailed. His UA tests have been all just fine, no issues. No missed, no dilutives, no positives. He's doing his required programming. He's been assigned to the CAC, Correctional Healthcare Corporation's program that we partner with DOC. He's in the career criminal program just based on the length of the sentence. He's attended every class, which means I believe every Wednesday. Has not missed, has not had to be excused from a class. Also, he does voluntary counseling with the Jewish Family Services approximately twice a month. He's paid his parole fees that is directed. He's paid his fines fees and or restitution. He's done well on home arrest. He has done well on home arrest.
Okay, thank you, Officer Crowe. Board members, any questions at this time? Thank you, sir. Yes, Honorable Mr. Johnson.
To get back to it. In your report, it said that Mr. Cooper, he's always complied with what you've asked him to do. And he's also said that stand on supervision of felon was not an option. But in your thing, it said there were some things that he disagreed with, but he went ahead and didn't understand and he complied. What type of things were those?
So, for instance, the CHC program, the career criminal program, when he was first assigned to it, I asked him, I still routinely ask how it's going. And he says it's going. He says he doesn't care for the program, but he's but he's going through it. He said he's not getting too much out of it, which is okay, I guess. I mean, he's going to programs, participating. He just doesn't seem to be a fan of the program, but he's doing everything he's been directed to do. And I actually contacted the CHC facilitators and some of the people who run the program, and they said, yeah, he participates on a regular basis. There's no issues. Just from basically my conversations with him, he doesn't enjoy the program, but he's doing it and understands that it's a requirement, and he's going to complete his obligations.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, board members? There are no further questions from board members. Thank you so very much. We may have questions later, so if you would remain in the room, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, now I do take note that the Victim Services Office is in the room. Do you have anything to offer on this one? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward. If you would be kind enough to state your name for the record.
My name is Jaquel Moody. I'm a victim advocate for Department of Corrections.
And thanks so much once again for being here. And what do you want to share with the board this morning, ma'am?
We had some last minute letters from the victims.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think we got you some copies, so I'm only going to summarize them.
Yes, ma'am. I just received the copies, and I've been reviewing them since Sydney. Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
And let you know that they are represented. Also, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, I just want to make sure you got a letter from them.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And the first letter is from Thomas Place. I'm going to summarize most of this because he does go into the crime quite a bit, and he does want the board to take note of several aspects of the crime, and you also have his letter from the previous hearing. It's like a three-page letter that describes.
And that's Mr. Bailey.
Yes, and he's the surviving victim, the only surviving victim.
Yes, ma'am.
In Florida. And he starts the letter by saying, thank you again for contacting me and letting me participate in this hearing. And once again, I'm not sure what more I can say about this man and this case that I haven't said already. What I can tell you about inmate Placek is that he willingly participated in acts of continued, and I stress continued, violence with relentless resolve to complete the most heinous and hateful crimes against humanity, more specifically against myself and obviously Chad Butcher. I can't speak to the horror Chad went through as I wasn't there. However, it did end up with Chad losing his life, so I believe it wasn't pleasant. And he asked the board to consider the fact that he was choked, dragged, buried, meant to be killed, and several stab wounds against his life. And then after he brings up certain aspects that you can refer to in the letter, he says, I won't go into the rest of the details here since you have my original letter. However, let me pick up by saying that only did inmate Placek not express any remorse for his actions when I broke free from the three-man stabbing crew. I ran into the woods and then back out of the woods. And I found myself running up and down the power line hills of very tall grass due to the fact that I couldn't make it over to the two-tractor road that we drove in on. I kept hoping beyond hope that this would be my last hill, but of course not. I didn't give up running and trying, though, until Placek impeded my promise by cutting me off with a car. Relentless resolve. I can't say if I could have made it to the road or not. What I can say is inmate Placek took away any hope I had of reaching a safe haven or possible medical assistance. I mention this because I wonder and I am frustrated with why we keep avoiding opportunities to a felon who is, in my mind, a mass murderer. Plain and simple, I see his continued opportunities as a failure of our justice system. I am of the opinion that mass murderers are not rehabilitated. They simply adapt and conform because they are forced to. Anyway, here's the thing I have to learn every day of my life looking at or explaining to someone the massive number of scars on my body. The scars on my heart, on my psyche, are not so visible, so I get to choke them back and keep those thoughts and feelings out of plain sight. So here's my question. When will I get the chance to apply to some board or panel and put all this behind me and move on with my life, with time served? when does Chad get his life back? When does Chad's family get to celebrate Chad's birthday or Christmas with him? Let me answer these questions for you. Whenever. This is the realization that every day is no chance of parole thanks to inmate place. Like, how can you fathom that in a few short months of minimal freedom, that my Plaszek has earned 1 ounce of respect for others? I'm not convinced he has 1 single ounce of remorse, and he has played the system like a fiddle, and the thought of him walking freely on the streets sickens me. I feel very strongly when I say that my mom doesn't make Plaszek not deserve to be moved to him for his status. Thank you for letting me vent, he says. Chris, and that's from Chris Bailey. And I have a very short letter from, this is the entire Butcher family. Our understanding as a family is, this is Chad Butcher's family. Our understanding as a family is that Thomas Plaszek is asking for parole after a very short time of being on home arrest. Dennis and I attended Thomas Plaszek's hearing in March and were crushed that there was an outside group of university students advocating for him. The students were not victims of Thomas's premeditated murder of our son and the stabbing of Chris Bailey, which has affected our entire lives since the event in 1990. I believe there were other crimes he was not prosecuted for in the same time period of our son's murder. We do not believe that Mr. Plaszek has been on home arrest long enough to be granted parole so quickly. We ask the board not to grant parole at this time. Sincerely, Dennis and Barbara Butcher, Brian and Leslie Butcher, Mark and Holly Butcher, Lynn Adams, Michelle Kennedy, and the grandchildren. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so very much. But these letters will be a part of the record as well, because we do have copies of them. Okay. Anyone else from the victims? I'm sorry, Ms. Hike, you're still on the phone. I'm sorry, I didn't get to
you.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak now. Please tell the board what you would like to tell the board, ma'am.
Well, I would like to tell the board.
First of all, please state your name just for the record, please, ma'am.
Okay. Jolene Marie Hike. Thomas's mother.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just want to let the board know that Tommy, even when he was in prison, he would give me a call once a week. And since he's been out, he calls me every Sunday. He just wants to keep in close contact. We have flown to Queens to visit with him. And myself, I was very impressed by the way he was. And he was he would help me in and out of the car. He was very judgmental. His actions were not quite of someone that you would think would be a murderer. But he knows that, we've talked about this, he knows that he did commit a murder. And that he realized that the time he spent in jail, he knows he's still a criminal. And he accepts that. And which I'm kind of proud of, because he knows that it's very hard to get a job. I mean, he's got the job, he bought his own vehicle, and he's trying very, very hard to be a good person in the community, even though it's very difficult for him. And my husband would like to say something also, if possible.
Yes, ma'am. Is he available?
Yes, sir. He's right here.
Okay. Well, please ask him to state his name, and we will listen to him at this time, ma'am.
Hello, this is Mr. Height.
Yes, sir. State your full name just for the record, sir.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again, please?
Would you just state your full name for the record, sir?
Richard Height, H-I-T-E.
Thank you so much, Mr. Height. And what do you wish to tell the board at this time, sir?
Oh, I had more. I said we threw out the Phoenix to meet with Thomas. Jolene and I have been together for 23 years, so I was well aware of Thomas's situation. And just wanted to say that he was, his demeanor was, while we were there for 3 days, spent most of 3 days with him, and his demeanor was very positive, and he was he impressed me with his knowledge of so many things, and he never had any negative moments. He never had anything negative to say about anything about his situation. Everything was positive. He was very intent on making sure that he was doing everything right, you know, according to his parole. So, but anyway, I spent, you know, 50 years of my life in sales and service job, and have always had a pretty good feeling about people. Once you visit with them for a while, you can usually tell in 10 minutes if they're someone that you can be of service to or help or anything. So it's 50 years of experience and teaches you a lot about people. But no, it was he was always very, very courteous and kind, and like I say, it's I didn't pick up any negative vibrations from him at all about anything. So I think he's trying real hard to take his place in society. But I don't know what else to tell you, really.
Okay, well, we certainly appreciate you sharing that with us, and let me ask my fellow board members, distinguished board members, if they might have some questions for you at this time, sir. No, sir, okay. There are no questions from board members at this time. You and your wife, of course, are welcome to stay on the phone. The board will be making this determination very shortly as it relates to your son, so just stay on the phone if you would like to, and the board will continue with the hearing. Is there anyone Is there anyone else present who wishes to address the board this time? There's none. So this time we're going to invite you to come back, sir.
Yeah, no, there's just the two of us here.
No, sir. We're talking to your son at this time, sir. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, Mr. Pleasant, we're coming towards the end of your hearing. You can feel free to tell the board. Well, before I say that, board members, are there any further questions at this time? I see no further questions at this time from board members. We want to give you an opportunity, in as much as this is your hearing, to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself or without repeating what has already been said. We want to, we complete the listen to your discussion, the board will go into discussion and make its determination. So what else you want to tell the board at this time, sir?
I think that I'm going to repeat myself.
Okay, I'll be right here. So.
Okay, just hold on, sir. Okay.
I would just be reiterating everything I've already said as my behavior hasn't changed. And how humble the last experience was. And I haven't let you guys down. That's it. I haven't let you guys down. I haven't let myself down. I haven't intended on it. But everybody says that. But I have the dedication, I have the determination, and I have, most importantly, probably the conviction and the resilience.
Okay, well, thank you so much, sir. And you may have a seat again, sir. Okay, at this time, the board is going into discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you or to the rest of those who are assembled here or to the Heights, but we're not. At this time, the five of us are just talking among ourselves. And just for the record again, I get tired of repeating it, but I must repeat it. In Arizona, we operate under the open meeting law. This will be the first time that the five of us will have an opportunity to discuss this hearing for today. but we must make our decision publicly. And so at this time, the board is going into discussion, and following the discussion, the board will take a vote and make its determination known. Is there any board member who wishes to lead off the discussion at this time? Okay, I don't see any board member who's willing to lead off the discussion at this time. I'm just going to make a few very brief comments, succinct comments, and then I yield to other board members. And remember that each board member is speaking independent of each other. I want, first of all, to commend Mr. Blasek for the progress that he's made since he's been out since April of this year. He's it seems to me that he's certainly moving forward, and I feel very safe in saying that. And I want to thank he, and I want to thank the people from ASU for the contributions that they made towards his progress. I think that the question that is in my mind at this particular moment, and this is only my question, I'm not asking any other board member to even consider this question, but that's in my mind at the moment, that he's been on home arrest since April of this year. That's only a very short period of time, and I'm just, in my mind, I am contemplating whether, since April, whether that is enough time to move him to his next consecutive sentence of being on general parole. So that's all I'm going to say. So at this time, I'm prepared to listen to other board members.
Mr. Johnson. I agree. I'd like to see, you know, see him do some more time on the home arrest.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Mr. Comanis.
Something similar, and that is, I don't mean to be discouraging to Mr. Blachek, but I think it's important that we monitor his transition to the community for a longer period of time before we consider graduating him to regular parole.
Thank you. Anything else, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse?
Sorry.
Anything else, Honorable Mr. Neal? Okay, thank you so very much. With that being said, I'm going to offer a motion. We see where it goes. And my motion would be to continue Mr. Plasek on home arrest with the same conditions.
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Mr. Neal, by Mr. Kiwanis, and by Ms. Rittenhouse. The board has unanimously voted to continue Mr. Plasek on home arrest with the same conditions. And we look forward to seeing you in about 6 months. This is please don't look at this as being a negative, but we do feel that there is a time frame that's necessary before the board moves to move you to your next level. Thank you so very much. Thanks for your participation. Thanks, attorney. Thanks to all our friends from the Arizona State University's great program that they have over there. And thank you so much, Mr. Broke. Officer Broke, or supervising officer, whatever that title is. Thank you so much. And thank the victim services for providing that information from the family members and from the department and from the Arizona Maricopa County Attorney's Office. Thank you, and the hearing is over. Thank you.